reach out in prayer. Justify those chains, and they will fall in my Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I bless your name. We love you this morning. Let's stand and sing the chorus once more. Oh Lord, I bless your name. Oh Lord, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. Oh Lord, I give you praise. You are the light. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in service again together to worship the Lord. And wanted to make a few announcements. Lord willing, this weekend, this coming weekend, we'll be having our 4th of July meetings. Starting Thursday evening, we'll be having a youth Bible study here at the church from 7:30 to 9:30 for the youth. And then Friday, July 6th, we'll be having service at 7:30 here. It'll be a service that's focused to the youth, but anybody's welcome to come to that Friday, July 6th at 7:30. Then we'll be having a pitch-in meal from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church, the gym behind the church there. And there's the address and things are on the website if you have any questions in regards to that. And then Brother Danny Steeman will be preaching for us Sunday morning, Sunday evening of next weekend. So I want to be in prayer for those services and looking forward to that. And I had announced it on Wednesday night, but wanted to announce it again. There's a church in Beckway that Brother Trevor had went and visited with Brother Stephen a couple of years ago. And their church building has some damage and age and things to it. And so they're trying to build a new church. And their youth of their church is doing a fundraiser. They made a CD of some music that they had performed and sang. And so that's available at EphesianTabernacle.com. And if you don't get a chance to write that down or remember it, there's a flyer downstairs on the bulletin board in regards to that. And if you go and make a donation, you can download that MP3 CD. They'll send you an email with the links to download it. And the funds towards that will go towards their building fund of trying to build a new church there. So I'm sure they'd appreciate that if you're interested in doing that. And we will be having service this evening at 6:30, but we will not be having communion and foot washing. I had planned on omitting it because we were planning on having the special meetings this weekend, and then they got moved, and I just decided to go ahead and leave it to omit the foot washing and communion service this weekend. We have quite a few people out of town and quite a few visitors in town and things, so I thought it'd be best just to omit that for this month, and we'll pick that up again in August, Lord willing. And then we will be having, some people have asked me, will we be having service on 4th of July, which is Wednesday, and we will. I'll be here at least at 7:30 to declare my independence. So, amen. And we're looking forward to the upcoming meetings. And I'm not big on canceling church for holidays. You know, it's if you can't make it because you're on vacation or something like that, we understand. But I plan on being here at least. So if you want to come and have a good time in the Lord, you're welcome Wednesday night at 7:30. And then I had a testimony we wanted to share. A little Emma Heron-Bassick, and they're out of town, I think, until Thursday on vacation. But she'd come up for prayer a few weeks ago, and I guess her blood type, they think, is what it is. Mosquitoes just drive her crazy, and she can't hardly be outside at all without just getting covered in mosquito bites. And they knew they were going on vacation and going to be camping out and things, and she was concerned about that and came up, and she said she wanted prayer that the Lord would just change that to where she didn't get bit by mosquitoes. And so we had prayer, and her little childlike faith, they said there's about 25 family members camping out with them on a family reunion there, and almost everybody has got ate up except Emma. So praise the Lord. Amen. God cares about the little things. He cares about the big things. He hears and answers prayer, and we know that prayer changes things, so we appreciate that. And there's quite a few that are traveling, as I said, the Heron-Bassicks, and also Brother Isaac Weber and his family are traveling on vacation to visit family, and Sister Sherry Virgin and her son, Brother David, and his wife, Sister Savannah, and their little girl, Elsie, they're traveling on vacation as well. And then Brother Hoover and Brother Trevor and quite a few of the youth are up at the Believers Youth Camp in Indianapolis this week, so I want to remember them in prayer, just that the Lord will move in a special way for them and just give a special touch to those young people, save the lost and fill the empty and heal the sick and just do wonderful things for them there in those meetings. And pray for them. They're going to all be tired. They're in service, I think Saturday night was the first service, and they're in services 2 days a week, today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then they come back here Thursday, and we'll have service Thursday, Friday, and then have a break on Saturday, and then two services Sunday. So they'll be in a lot of church, so that won't hurt them. It'll do them good, but I'm sure they'll be tired by the time it's all said and done. So remember them, and just Brother Trevor and Brother Hoover as well. I think they're counselors up there, so I want to remember them in prayer, just that the Lord will use them to impact some of those youth. And how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each and every one. Good to have all of our visitors. I think we've got some from Texas, some from Canada, some from Delaware. So I guess they came from the east and the west this morning. We appreciate you being here to fill up the gaps where we have so many out of town of our own on vacation and things. So, but Brother Stephen, would you come this morning and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? You know, it's encouraging when we hear testimonies. We recognize that God answers prayer, whatever you have need of this morning. If you've got an unspoken request, if you've got a sickness in your body, whatever it is, we know that He hears and answers prayer. God bless you this morning.
Just give a little quick testimony myself. I woke up this morning feeling probably as bad as I've felt in a long, long time. And I'm not 100%. but I forced myself to come to church, and I'm feeling 90% better. So praise the Lord. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thinking over those prayer requests, Sister Emma, Lord, how you healed her. And just thinking, your word says that you will provide our needs. But sometimes, Lord, we find that you provide our wants too. Lord, because we know you're a good father and you don't give us rocks and stones. And Lord, now there's these prayer requests. People are sick. There's a prayer request in Sunday school for a little girl in a different state who's depressed and feeling suicidal and different things going on. The enemy's raging, Lord. But Lord, we trust in you for our wants and we bring you, we trust in you for our needs, Lord, and we bring you our wants, trusting that you know best what we should have. And Lord, now what a comfort to come and have a place to gather, feeling your spirit moving amongst us, Lord, looking forward to the breaking of the word, Lord, and whatever it be, a tape or a sermon or whatever it is, Lord, we know that you've led and ordained things for this service, for this day. And we just pray, Lord, that you come and do the exceeding abundant above anything we could think or ask, Lord. Lord, it's in your way and in your will, Lord, and we just bring it all to you. Strengthen Brother Nathan, strengthen the musicians, strengthen the people. Lord, we know, Lord, that you move amongst your body. You emptied all of yourself into Christ and all of Christ into the church. And we just pray, Lord, that you come and help somebody to be an encouragement to somebody else. Help somebody to pray for somebody else. Lord, just move amongst us, Lord, is our prayer. We welcome you and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again, church. We'll be reading the 38th chapter of the book of Psalm, and we'll start with the 16th verse to finish it off. While you're turning, just tell you a little story. Brother Nathan mentioned he'd be here, whether nobody else was here or not. Brought to mind a minister friend of mine had a meeting. He's telling me, he said, the greatest meeting I ever had, he said, was when 50% of the congregation gave their heart to the Lord. He said, I preached my heart out. Made an altar call, said, and 50% of the congregation came. Said, the thing of it is, there was only two people in the congregation. 3 weeks later, one of them was his, and they were his two children. 3 weeks later, his daughter went home to be with the Lord. So see, we never know when you open the doors who's going to show up or how God's going to work. All right, let's do this. Start with 16 through 22, the 38th chapter. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries. I'm sorry. Because I follow the thing that is good. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. God bless you. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Amanda Scott.
I am holy. table, your children are fed. We are filled with the mercy of the Lamb and the bread. And I feast now daily because I've learned to live in the grace.
Bless you, sister. Sure appreciate that. If the brothers would come at this time.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? Oh, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. And would you all be full of victory when there's wonderful power in the blood? Power, there's power.
Jesus, your King. In the blood, yes, there's power in the blood. And would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful, let's stand. This morning. Worship Him in His presence this morning. Oh, there is no one else. No one else can touch my heart like You do. Lord, I can search through all eternity long and find there is none like.
How you feel this morning? God bless you richly. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Job again. Job chapter 38 and verse 3. We looked last week at this thought of identified, and with the help of the Lord, we want to pick that up again, look at it this week. Job chapter 38, verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for a place where we can come together and worship You. Lord, I just ask that You take complete control of this service. Lord, may You just lead and guide as You would see fit, Father. Lord, may You take just complete control of everything that's said and done, Lord. May You, Lord, we thank You for the songs of Zion that we've heard. Thank You for every musician. Lord, every voice that was lifted to You in the congregation. And Lord, we just ask that You would continue to be with the rest of the service, Father. Lord, may You just take human clay again and Lord, help me to get myself out of the way so that you could use me in some way to encourage those that are present here this morning. Lord, may you, Father, just be with each one that's here. May you help them to receive as we look into your scriptures and into the quotes, Lord. May they receive something that would be a help to them. Maybe they've had a question on certain things or whatever it would be, Father. May it help them and encourage them and further them in the gospel, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. The church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We looked at this last week on identified and how that back before even we get to Genesis 1, we looked at how Brother Branham spoke of the man there in Mishawaka, how that he had come out, the elderly black brother, and had said that, Brother Branham said that everybody else had taken their text on what was going on down on earth at Calvary in different places. And he said, but this man took the text and he went way back beyond the horizontal rainbow and began to talk about things that was happening before there ever was an earth. And we begin to look at that and how that God had asked Job. He said, where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the sons of God came together and shouted for joy, and he began to go back before there ever was a time, before there ever was a world. And Job didn't really know how to answer him where that he was at that time, but by revelation, because God sent a prophet in this age, and by looking and comparing scripture with scripture, we're able to see that we know now where we were before the foundation of the world. We know what now where we were in God's thinking. We were an attribute of God that was back there in his mind before the foundation of the world, and how he had these thoughts and he had attributes, and how when we look at it, Brother Brandon teaches us how that a word is a thought that has become expressed, and God had all of these thoughts in his mind. He had you in his mind. He had you in his thinking. He had each one of you sitting here this morning. If you're predestinated to eternal life, he had you back there in his thinking, yet the thought had not become word and the word had not become expressed yet. So he could look back there in time and say there was going to be a Brother Buckles in his mind, but he couldn't speak at that time and say, let there be Brother Buckles, because it wasn't time for him to come on the scene yet. He couldn't speak and say, let there be light until the time, yet it was still back there in his thinking, in his thoughts. You were in his thoughts. The world was in his thoughts. The sun, the moon, the stars, light, all of these things were a part of his attributes, a part of his thinking. He would come and be a savior, yet the virgin body of Jesus Christ, it wasn't time for him to come yet physically on the earth, yet before the foundation of the world, he was there in the thoughts of God, a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Yet physically it hadn't taken place, just like physically you or Adam or anybody else hadn't come on the earth yet, because God hadn't spoken those words. God, us many times we're not as careful with our words as we should be, but Brother Branham said that we're amateur creators. And he said, when we speak and things, it creates an atmosphere. Even science picks it up and recognizes that just your subconscious, the way that it's affected by words, that you can go around and say, oh, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that. And your subconscious will begin to believe that because you create an atmosphere with those words that you're speaking. Or you can go around and you can say, I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is that your words are speaking to that subconscious, it's going to just accept it as the truth. So we need to be careful what we feed on. Brother Branham said, you are what you read. You are what you... He said, let me get around you a little while and see what you're eating on. I can tell you what type of person you are, what you're watching, what you're listening to, what you're reading, what you're absorbing. And so God had all these thoughts, but just as when he came and walked the shores of Galilee in a flesh body, Jesus couldn't come out there to the graveyard and say, come forth, or every grave would have opened and every dead person would have came forth. So God had to be specific about his words, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. If you notice down through scripture, God is always very specific with his words. I believe even when it comes to prophets of God, when we see Brother Branham come on the scene and make certain statements, and maybe it would stumble one and it would make another one just rejoice and get excited and a revelation from it. I believe he was very specific with the words that he used. I believe if he said I, he meant I. If he said you, he meant you. If he said we, he meant we. Whatever it would be. When he said it, I don't believe he minced words. So when we look book and we read a quote, we need to be careful. If he says you or if he says we, then we need to be able to read ourselves into that quote, because he's not just talking about himself. If he's not just talking about God, if he's not just talking about himself, and he says it's to you or we as a group collectively, including himself, then you need to be able to listen and say, wait a minute, I don't believe he was just mincing words or that he just said that randomly, but when he said we or when he said you, it included, you can read yourself in there then. Amen. The same thing goes for the Word of God. When we go and we begin to read scriptures, don't just place it back there in someday with Gideon or someday with Isaac or Jacob or Joseph or down into the New Testament with Paul or Peter or whoever it would be. But we should be able to read it with an understanding that we can put our name in there. We can positionally place ourselves in there and recognize that we were identified right there with them, and we were identified with God and his thoughts back there in the beginning of time. Yet, God's thoughts had not become expressed yet. Now, when God began to express his thoughts and he begins to speak words, you can imagine God dwelling out there in eternity in silence with his own thoughts, and he knew what would be. He was back there in eternity. As I said last week, it's hard for our minds to even comprehend or fathom or understand what that was like. We think of things in minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and generations, and we think in inches and miles and or some of the Canadians here in kilometers or meters or whatever it would be. We want to measure everything, but God, back before there was a beginning, yet God was. When he came to Moses, he didn't say, I was back there in eternity. He said, I am. He didn't say, I will be. He said, I am. Just self-existing, always. Before he was even God, Brother Branham said, because God is an object of worship, yet there was nothing to worship him. And he was out there in eternity with his thoughts. But now it became time for him to begin to speak some of these words and for them to be expressed. Now, when God speaks something, it has to come to pass. God doesn't have a time limit. He doesn't, when he speaks something, we don't get out the calendar and say, well, if it doesn't happen by this date, then I guess he just isn't God. When he speaks, it may take weeks, it may take minutes, it may take seconds, it may take years, it may take, you know, in the case of Isaiah, he spoke and said, a virgin shall conceive. It was about 800 years later before that word actually became flesh. And if it hadn't become flesh, then it would have just been Isaiah's thought and not God's thought. But because it was God's thought, it didn't matter what the time limit was on it, it was going to come to pass. And when you can accept the word by revelation, when you can say, you know, the doctor says this, the doctor says there's no hope, the doctor says that I'm just going to have to live with this, or that I only have 6 months to live, or whatever it would be, you can accept his word, or you can go back to God's word and say, I'm healed. It's a finished work at Calvary. It wasn't just for somebody back there in AD 33. It was for me. When he said it is finished, he was talking about me. He was talking about my redemption, my salvation, my healing. It's finished. He doesn't have to come back and die for me again. I don't have to work up some emotion. I just have to accept the word and say, it is finished. When you can recognize that and accept it by faith that it's for you, then just as sure as God would speak and say, a virgin shall conceive, it has to come to pass. When he says, over there to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord and you and your house shall be saved, you can just let the Philippian jailer enjoy that benefit, or you can read yourself in and say, it was for my house too. I'm going to accept it for my house too. I'm going to apply the token. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you know, this loved one or that loved one, it seems like there's sure not much hope. Don't accept what it looks like. Brother Branham said, sight and time are the greatest detriments to God. Because we look at the circumstances, well, you know, I've been praying for this loved one, but goodness gracious, they've run so far and they've got involved in so much, and I just don't know. Stop looking. Stop looking. We don't look at the circumstance. We don't look at the report of the 10 spies that comes back and brings back a negative report. We look by faith at the unseen. We look by faith at what God said, not what science can show us, or not what our own eye sockets can show us, not what somebody comes and tells us, but we look by faith at the word and say, I believe the promise. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, usually when we read this scripture,
We read it with the denominational, traditional mentality that God, somewhere way up a million miles away up in the heavens, he made this city of gold and the starry clouds, and then down here on this planet, he began to form and create. But when we look at this word, it's not talking about some city 10 million miles away, but this word for heavens is the visible heavens, the sky, as the abode of the stars, as the visible universe, the sky, atmosphere, etc. God created not only the earth, but he created the atmosphere around the earth. He created the heavens that we see when we look up into. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get on a Boeing 747 or whatever it is, and I go from here to Louisiana or Finland or Arizona or wherever it would be, I don't come back and tell everybody, hey, I went to heaven this weekend. Oh, my, it was amazing. And tell some story about, you know, how I saw a light at the end of the tunnel or whatever. But yet I did go up into the heavens. Not like we think with the traditional idea, but yet the heavens, as far as the atmosphere, the clouds, the skies, that's what God was creating here in Genesis 1 when he said, let there be. God began to create the heavens and the earth. Now, when he speaks this, the heavens and the earth had always been in his mind as part of his thinking. This was not something. Now, we recognize, we look at the earth today and we look at it in the condition that it's in. And a prophet of God comes along in 1965 and he calls it Satan's Eden. It's not that God is ruling over it, as far as the nations of the world or the politics of the world or even the decisions of the people of the world right now. Satan is ruling down here because he set up as a squatter. Just like if you would go on vacation, maybe an extended sabbatical or something, you decide it comes winter time like Brother Buckles does, and it gets a little too cold for you, and you go visit family in Arizona for 3 months to get out of this cold temperature, and then you come back when it begins to get warm, and you come in, there's somebody's car in your driveway, and you go in, you begin to look around, there's somebody else's food in your pantry and down in the refrigerator and up in the freezer, and there's somebody else's clothes in your closet, and somebody's brought in a bunch of filth and garbage, magazines and movies and books that you would have never had in that house, and you look around and you say, what on earth has taken place? It's your home, it's your abode, but yet somebody else came in with squatter's rights and took up. That's what Satan did by the fall. Satan did not create this world. Satan perverted the world. Just as Satan, you know, Satan didn't create you, but yet you were come to the world, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the earth speaking lies. But Satan didn't bring you here. Satan didn't create you. Satan didn't create your parents. But yet you came through a perverted way because of the fall. That wasn't exactly the way that God had it planned from the beginning. He had a plan in his mind. He had a thought. But because of sin and perversion, it began to contaminate the earth. But the earth in its original form was an original thought of God, just like you in your original form. Brother Branham said God took a picture of you. He said he didn't take it when he was 21 or at your best. He said he took it back before the foundation of the world. He had a picture of you in your mind. Now, you might have come, and as a child, you might have had sicknesses. As an infant, you know, they might have thought that you weren't going to make it or whatever. That wasn't God's plan for you. If you've got a deformity or a sickness or a health problem, that was not God's plan for you before the foundation of the world. But because of the fall, you came in that condition. Because it's Satan's Eden now. And so we begin to look at the world many times and we say, oh my, I want to get out of this old pest house. I want to get out of this old world. I'm not planning on it. I'm planning on staying right here for all eternity. I thought it might get quiet in here this morning, but well, let's just look at some scriptures here in a little bit. But before we get to that, Paul says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How did he do it? Back there, you know, Einstein, they said this was his, how he explained creation. He didn't come with some evolutionistic idea of well, you know, just there was a speck out here and there was a bang and then there was a germ and the germ developed into a frog and the frog developed into this and all the way up to humanity. I'm so glad that we were able to recognize we didn't come that way. Amen. And if so, then why is there still a frog? There's some of these frogs that we got around here. They must be some slow evolvers because they had just as much time as everybody else. Why aren't we all human? Why is there any animal if we all evolve? Why is there chimpanzees if we evolve from that? Would they just come to school a little late and they're a little slow catching up? Or how did that work out? I don't understand their thoughts, but I thank God. But by looking at it through the eyes of a prophet, we're able to understand a little bit of the thoughts of God and what he had in his mind. And so Paul comes along and he says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. He didn't have a hammer. He didn't have a two before. He didn't have a nail. He didn't have stone. He didn't even have dust. But he said, let there be, and there was. By the spoken word of God, the things that we see appear, but yet they didn't appear back then. He took the invisible and with the spoken word created the visible. He spoke and there was nothing. There was nothing for it to come from. He didn't take as he did when he was here in a flesh body and he began to take bread and break from it and multiply creation, as Brother Branham uses the term. He said he multiplied creation. He took fish and he broke and there was more fish there. He multiplied creation. But back in the beginning, there was nothing for him to multiply it from. There was nothing. You know, even with my homeschool math, I know that if you take zero and multiply it by anything, it's still zero. There was nothing for him to multiply it from, but yet he spoke, and the spoken word being the original seed, it began, all the things that we see now begin to exist. But in their original form, God was able to look around when he created the moon, when he created the sun, when he created the stars and the heavens and the earth and the waters and the sea animals and the land animals and the air animals, and even when he created man, he looks around and he says, it is good. Until he recognizes that man needs a mate. And then he said that part wasn't good. And he takes a woman from his side. We'll maybe look at that in a couple weeks. But in the original form, he looks at the earth and said it was good. How could he say that? Because it was an attribute of himself, something that he had in his mind and his thinking, that now, even before Adam was formed on the earth, before there was ever a human being, the spoken word of God placed the dust and the chemicals for every human being that would ever be in the face of that earth. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. Well, stick around for a couple services and we'll see what Brother Branham said about it. But Revelations chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, John sees a new heavens and a new earth, and we'll look at it a little bit later in the service this morning if we have time. Then he sees the new Jerusalem ascending down from God out of heaven and sitting upon this new heavens and new earth. Now, if we look at this with the traditional denominational idea of this, then this world is just annihilated, and God starts back like he did in the beginning and says, let there be. But when we look by revelation this morning with the help of the Lord, we'll recognize that's absolutely not the way that it happened, because it would be contradictory to the way that God brought you. And God always, when he does something, he does it in continuity. Future Home in 1964, Brother Branham was talking about how this with the fervent heat and everything, the explosions that St. Peter's speaking of here. He says, you know, when a man receives the baptism of fire, there's a lot of noise around there. Oh my, I know people around the message don't like that. You know, they don't want anything with a lot of noise. Oh my, bless God, Brother Nathan. When I got it, it was just still and quiet as could be. You could have heard a pin drop. Well, I don't want to question your birth, but when I go back and look at what the prophet said, if you go in the message and you type stillborn into the message search and you go and see all that he said about it, he said, we've had too many stillborn babies around the church. He said, there's something about it when a child comes into the world and it doesn't make any noise. He said, quickly, the doctor goes and grabs it and begins to smack it on the backside. He said, a little posterior protoplasma stimulation. And he said, if there's any life in there, the child begins to scream out and to cry, and they begin to recognize there's life coming into the body. But when it comes and there's no sound, nothing coming out of it, we don't just sit there and say, oh my, what a cute little baby. It begins to bring an urgency that, wait a minute, there's proclaimed that there's been a birth take place, but yet there's no life with the birth. Oh, God help us. Amen. I don't want to produce a bunch of stillborn Christians, but I want something that has light with it. He said, when man receives the baptism of fire, there's a lot of noise around there. They think that's a shame to hear people scream and shout like that. Just wait till this earth gets her baptism. Yeah, it'll explode. It'll explode at the H2O, the water. For the Bible said here in Revelation 21, there is no more sea. Explode it. This will change the whole surface of the earth. The entire earth shall burst and blow to pieces. This is all the outside, the crust, and for hundreds of feet below it will just simply be completely demolished. The atmosphere, the gases that's in the earth now, where they're finding these missiles that can't get through it, a great sphere up in there, way up in some kind of a sphere, and there's all kinds of gases, they say, and that'll burst. The holy wrath of God will come upon it, see, and will cleanse it, will change the entire surface. Didn't say it would be annihilated. Said it would change the entire surface. Don't you realize that's what happened to you when you was born again? Hey man, when you look around, you look in the mirror the day after you got the Holy Ghost. Now you might have dressed a little different. You might have wore your hair a little different. You might have tried to wear long sleeves to cover up the old tattoos that you had and taken them earrings out of your ears and your nose and wherever else you had them. But when you looked in the mirror, you was that same guy that you was before the baptism of fire came and cleansed you. You was the same person, yet something had changed on the inside. You didn't become a, you know, the word there, the Greek word says to become a new creation, but it wasn't that you were literally annihilated and God said, well, that old Nathan Bryant, we're just going to annihilate him and we're going to come and set a new Nathan Bryant. But what was it? He renovated the old Nathan Bryant. Amen. I couldn't have fellowship with him in the old condition. Just like when I was using the little drama there of you coming back to your home. You couldn't sit down and fellowship with these people that had come in and had taken roost in your home and had brought things in that you couldn't agree with and beer bottles on the walls and you know, in the refrigerators and everything else. You had to clean all that out before you could really get in and have the type of fellowship that you wanted. God had to come and clean you out. Clean out all the trash. Burn out all the old and bring in something. What was it? You're still you. I still look at you. And as we sing that song, the old man is dead, but yet I'm still the same man. Yes. Amen. Jimmy Hart sitting back there, you know, some of his relatives and some of his buddies from back in high school, they would maybe still recognize him on the street and say, hey, that's Jimmy Hart. I went to high school with him back in, well, we won't say how long ago it was, but I went to high school with Jimmy and oh my, but they could sit down and begin to talk to him for about 5 minutes and they would recognize this isn't the old Jimmy that we knew. Yet he's the same man, but there's been a renovation that's taken place. Oh my, that's what's going to take place to the world. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Brother Man said, you talk about a noise. He says many times, he says, you know, people come to church and somebody begin to scream or shout or whatever it would be. He said, somebody came in and said, oh, Brother Branham, I said, it just sent chills all up and down my spine. It's about froze me to death. He said, oh, goodness. He said, I hope you never get to heaven. Are you sure freeze to death over there? He said, this is the quietest place. I know sometimes the church of the open door, you may not feel like it's the quietest place that you'll ever be. But Brother Branham said, it's the quietest place that you'll ever be. He said, if you go to hell, it'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. If you go to heaven, it'll be shouting and singing Hosanna to the King. Oh my, you talk about a quiet place. I know it sure gets quiet around here sometimes, but even at its loudest, it's still a quiet place compared to what it will be. You know, you get about 150 of us jammed in here or 180, whatever, and begin to sing and shout and praise the Lord. And sometimes you just feel like you're going to lift up out of here. Can you imagine when there's millions upon millions of saints singing Hosanna in perfect pitch? Oh my, even some of you that can't carry a tune in a bucket, that wasn't God's plan for you from the beginning of the foundation of the world. You'll be able to sing over there with new vocal cords. You'll be able to sing in all this perfect pitch and begin to cry out and sing to God, Hosannas in the heavens, and that sound begin to come up before the throne. You think you can shout and praise God in this body that's old and decrepit and wearing down and gets sick and gets tired and gets discouraged? Think about when we're in a body that'll never be tired, that'll never be sick, that'll never be discouraged. You talk about running and shouting, I'd imagine we'll do some. Oh, my, and all of us begin to sing together. You talk about noise, but it'll be a heavenly rejoicing time. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you. God is going to renovate this. He said when the fire from God, now I know we talk about atomic fire and things like that and how that God will use that to destroy a portion of the earth, but God isn't just going to use atomic bombs to come and wipe sin off the earth. That's just in war and things like that. He'll use that. Brother Branham said, he said, don't fear communism. He said, that's just a tool in the hand of God to destroy Catholicism, to destroy the Vatican. And so when we see all that begin to transpire, I don't know about you, I don't want to be here for that portion of it, but yet that doesn't purify the earth completely. If so, then you know, man and his inventions could purify the earth, but then it's more than just an atomic fire or a literal fire, Brother Benham says, in a future home. But he said the holy fire from God comes down out of heaven to cleanse this old shell off of all sin, of all germs, of all diseases, of all sickness. He said you talk about an explosion when even the oxygen begins to explode, when even the H2O, the seas will be no more. He said even the waters in the earth will explode. You talk about a noise. And then we say, bless God, Brother Nathan, I got a new birth the other day. Oh, really? What did it produce? Well, I don't know. All I know is I just accepted it, and I'm born again. No change. Still going to live the same way. No effect. Not, you know, I don't know about you. Some of you parents, when you brought that little first child into the world, I don't think that you just went around and you just... He was excited about it. You said, oh, brother, come over and see. Oh, it's the most beautiful baby you ever seen. Oh, I'm so excited. It's why something had taken place. A new birth had been brought forth. You didn't sit there like a mute and everybody come by and just, you know, point him to the hand sanitizer and give him a little motion to explain to him what to do with it. He was excited. Oh, have you ever seen such a healthy boy? Don't he look just like his dad? Oh, this little girl, don't she just look like her mama? You was excited. You probably drove people nuts for about 6 months. But you was excited because a birth had taken place. And when we claim a birth has taken place, but then go down and ashamed to talk to anybody about the Lord on our job, or ashamed to raise our hands and say glory, hallelujah, ashamed to say amen out in the service because somebody might identify you with something that's being taught, and oh goodness, and claim a birth has been taking place. No, maybe a stillborn something, but not something that brought life. When it brings life, it does more than just some verbal acknowledgement. It actually comes and changes that old creature. God said, I'll give you a new heart. I'll take away the old stony heart out of you and I'll give you a new one. But yet I don't care how many of us have the Holy Ghost. If we go down there and scientifically they'd open up our chest cavity, it's still that same old heart that was in us since an infant. He didn't literally physically take our old heart out and give us a heart transplant. He changed what that old nature of that old soul down on the inside was. Amen. Oh, I thank God that a renovation has taken place and that we're under new management now. Brother Morris tells the story of a man, he couldn't read and he accepted the Lord and he was going to a little Bible study and they said they wanted everybody to have a little word of encouragement on their shirt, you know, a little sticker or something to come in and everybody to share. And so when they did, he told his wife, he said, I want you to write what's on that sign right over there. He said, that's a beautiful sign. She said, honey, you can't even read. And he said, I know, but it's such a beautiful sign. Just write whatever's on that on my shirt. I want to wear that down to the Bible study tonight. And he came back home. He said, oh, honey, said you, I got so many compliments out of that. He said, I forgot to even ask you. He said, what was written on that sign over there that she wrote on my sticker on my shirt to share with the Bible study? She said, honey, it said open under new management. Amen. Thank God that we're open under new management. Amen. Not your opinion anymore, not your thoughts, not your idea, but Jesus Christ has come to rule and reign. Again, Future Home 1964, he said, by these passages, one might think or be led rather to believe that the whole planet of this earth will be destroyed. I make a new heaven and a new earth. See that the heavens will be gone and the earth will be gone, completely annihilated. But a close study, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can see the truth of this, and that's what we're going into. It's only the atmosphere around it and the sin that's upon the earth that will be destroyed. See, now realize that the heavens means the atmospheres above. See, we just looked at that, the meaning of the Hebrew word, rather, of what those heavens was. And so he tells us, he said, now, before you received a baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said you couldn't fellowship with God because there was too much on you that you couldn't have the right kind of fellowship with God that he wanted to. But he said now that the Holy Spirit has come and burnt off all those old things, he said now, not we will be, but now we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But you couldn't do that with the old nature of malice and hatred and bitterness and living in sin and all these different things. It took something to come and burn all of the old off. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, when we read this, once again, we look at it and we think that, well, God spoke his word, the written word, and so that's eternal. But the old heaven and the old earth, it's going to be annihilated, but we can never annihilate this word. Well, what about the world? How did it get here? The world was his word, the original spoken word. He said, let there be. And there was. So if that passes away, then isn't part of his word passing away? So we can't read it with an old denominational way. If you go back and listen to Future Home, if you have time this week, I'd recommend you go back and listen to it carefully and see what he's saying. He brings out that Greek word to pass away. He says it doesn't mean to annihilate. It means to change from one form to another. The heavens and earth will change from one form to another. But he said, my words can't. He doesn't change and say one thing to one age and then come around and say, well, I changed my mind. I got a better way of doing it. His word can't change, but yet the earth will change because the earth has been perverted by sin. It'll change back to what he originally had it to be. He talks about, we'll look at it in a minute, the three stages of perfection that it goes through, of perfecting. Future Home again, 1964. The world is one of his attributes. Just the same as you are one of his attributes. The world becomes one of his attributes because it was God's thinking in the beginning to have a world, to be on a throne, to be a king, to be a redeemer, to be a healer. That's his attribute. Now, I thought we was going to go 10 million miles away somewhere and there was going to be a city and a throne and that's where we was going to be for all eternity. That's not what the prophet taught us. You need to get out of your old, 1973 Sunday school book from the Methodist Church or whatever and read the message a little bit more. A lot of times we drag over traditional thinking and denominational thinking right into the message. We think, oh my, won't that be glorious to walk those streets of gold? Don't get me wrong. When we looked at the kingdom of heaven and Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is without observation, the kingdom of heaven was within you. We recognize he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not streets of gold. But don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not saying we won't ever walk on streets of gold. I'm just saying it's not going to be 10 million miles away. But that new heaven, if you go read the book of Revelation chapter 21 there, he said, I saw that new Jerusalem, the city of God, coming down out of heaven, and it set down upon the earth, and God said he tabernacled himself with men. Amen. Not that we're going to fly away 10 million miles away to a city. It's going to be right here. Amen. Why? Because the world was a part of his attributes. It was part of his thinking. But you were back there in his thinking too. As we looked at last week, we were identified. We were a thought. We were an attribute. But before he ever said, let there be Nathan Bryant or let Wade Byerly come forth or any of these others as we came from our parents, before he said, let there be an Adam and took Eve from Adam's side, there was already an earth for them to come on. Brother Branham said in Deep Calling to the Deep, he said God could not create a fish and put a fin on its back until there was a water for the fish to swim in. No more could he come and create you in physical form, yet you were an attribute back there in his thinking, until there was an earth for you to dwell on. So it was back there, a part of his thinking, a part of his attributes, the actual world that we're standing on this morning was a part of his thinking. Now, the condition that it's in this morning is not the way that he intended it to be. He didn't intend for there to be ambulances. He didn't intend for there to be drugs and alcohol and prostitution and sickness and sins and germs and all that. But because of the fall, sin brought that. Those things were not part of his attributes. Those things were not a part of God. And so his desire was to restore it back to that, just as his desire, because you came through the fall, was to restore you back to what his original thought of you was from the beginning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, why would this be a positive thing if you're meek and lowly and humble your whole life and live a good Christian life, and God says, here you go, honey. Here's the earth you inherited. And blow it up 3 seconds later. Said, we're doing away with that. We don't need no earth anymore. I'm going to bring something new on the scene. What is it any good for you to inherit something that's just going to be demolished? He's not going to demolish the core. He's not going to demolish the planet. He's going to demolish the sin and sickness and disease on the outside of the planet. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. And they're going to find out someday that they're not seeing 150 million years of light space either. They're going right around in a circle. That's exactly. Oh, Brother Lee, when I read this again, I'd read it years ago, but when I read it again the other day, I thought, oh, I would love to be sitting there at NASA when this day the scripture becomes fulfilled. And there's a man sitting there, and he's looking through a telescope out into outer space. He says, oh, boys, come here. You won't believe what I just found. Oh, my, I just hit the, oh, my, this is the discovery of all discoveries. My name is going to be famous. I'm going to be world renowned as the scientist. We've been looking at Mars. We've been looking at Jupiter. We've been looking at the moon. We've been looking at Venus. But I finally found a planet, and I see movement, and I see life down there. It looks similar to our planet. Come here, boys, look at this. And as he begins to describe it to him, he looks through the scope. He begins to zoom in a little further and a little further. Said, it looks like it's a civilization. They're civilized, and they've got things like us. And he zooms in a little closer and zooms in a little closer. He said, now, wait a minute. And he holds up three fingers, and that guy in the telescope holds up three fingers, and he shakes his head, and that guy in the telescope shakes his head, looking in a circle. He said, we're going to find out one of these days that when you go up to heaven, you don't fly off somewhere. You're still right here too, just in a dimension faster than this. Oh my, now I know denominational tradition would love to get us confused and get us pulled away from this, but this is the word. Amen. This isn't contrary to the scripture. This just confirms what the scripture already taught us. Not going to fly away and live a million miles away on a cloud somewhere. Our loved ones, they weren't up, you know, at Jupiter or Mars sitting, hanging out, waiting for us to come get them someday. He said they're right here, a dimension faster. He said sometimes God lets me see them when I go beyond the curtain. Oh my, think about it. Just a dimension faster. Why? That's how Hope could sit there and pat him on the leg and say, honey, don't worry. We're better off than we ever was. What was it? She was right there, but she was just in a dimension faster, and God allowed him to speed up his dimension, or her to slow down her dimension, however it would be, and they was able to see each other temporarily, but one day it's not going to be a temporary something. He said, you'll see your loved ones begin to come in a young, healthy body, and you'll recognize, oh my, this is the day I've been waiting for. Amen. Didn't say God would give you a spaceship and you'd fly away a million miles and see him. Said they'd just come right in your living room and you'd begin to see him. If we could only see in that dimension faster, we'd recognize they're right here. We can't see them. They can't see us most of the time. I don't know, Brother Bram said, maybe sometimes God lets them look over the banister. But he said, you know, to them it doesn't seem. Maybe you've got loved ones that have been gone 20 years. He said, to them it seems like it's just been a few moments because they're living in a different dimension that's faster than this. You don't have to worry about your loved ones and say, oh, goodness, they've been waiting out there 73 years for us to get things taken care of down here on earth. God said, to me, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. To them, they may have been gone at 20 years. It might seem like 30 seconds to them. Oh, my, but see, we'll look at it tonight with the help of the Lord. God was out there in a different dimension. There had been no light created. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself and spoil tonight's service, but he was out there in a different dimension, and yet there was no light. He had never said, let there be light, and that stumbles us because we think, oh, my, well, how could God dwell in darkness? But yet he was in spirit form. He didn't have any eye sockets and eyeballs. He didn't need to see light. He was in a different dimension. You know, even when we get over to the New Jerusalem, it said it, well, we won't need to have the sun to light because he will be the light. The Lamb will be the light. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. This was the old, when he speaks, and earth was without form and void, and he comes and begins to divide the waters from the waters. He said the old world, the heavens were of old, and the earth, in its original form, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, did God destroy and annihilate the earth back in the days of Noah and then come around and just create a new earth and hang it there in atmosphere and kind of hang Noah off the side by a string till he got that one done and drop him back over? But yet we read about a new heavens and a new earth and about the world being destroyed, and we think that that's going to be annihilated. But the Bible said that the earth, the old earth, by the water perished in the days of Noah. Now you say, well, that just means that, you know, that the waters kind of caused some water damage and they had to call in their flood insurance. No, the Greek lexicon says this word means to destroy, to put out of the way entirely, abolish, put into ruin, render useless, to kill, to declare that one must be put to death, to devote or give over to the eternal misery, to destroy, to lose. But yet he didn't destroy the planet. He just destroyed all the sin and the sinners and the corruption that was on the surface of the planet. Genesis 9 verse 11, God tells Noah after the flood, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Yet we recognize the earth wasn't annihilated. But see, the earth had to go, Brother Branham picks it up in the future home, and he says, the earth had to go through the same cleansing process that you do. Oh my, I love it when we begin to catch things like that and we can look through the eyes of a prophet and see it by revelation. The continuity of God, that God couldn't come and do one thing one way with the earth or with his plan over there with the physical planet and then come and do you a different way. But God always works in continuity. Brother Bam said he's perfect in his threes and his sevens and his twelves, all these different things as he comes through his continuity that he's working in. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now, he talks about the old heavens sitting out there in the water and out of the water. Then he talks about when it was destroyed by Noah. He says, but the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He gives us these three phases. St. Peter does. If you go back and read 2 Peter chapter 3, he gives us the three phases of the earth. Future home, 1964. Now, so the old world framework was not destroyed by water. The world was only washed off. That got its baptism. It was baptized. So will the framework remain. Though it be burnt by fire, it don't destroy the earth, see. It just destroys the sin that's on it. Future home again, 1964. What God has done to redeem his world, he's done the same plan to redeem his people. For the unchangeable God changes not in any of his plans or anything. Again, future home. Three different stages of purification. That's what he did for the earth. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, we looked at it last week. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he didn't say they agree in one. He said they are one, the same person. Not three persons, not three personalities, but they are one. But yet he comes over in the natural type and he says, now on the earth, there are three that agree in one. They're typed in one. Water, blood, and spirit. Brother Branham said, what is it when you come to this earth, the natural birth? Water comes forth, then the blood, then the spirit, the life coming into the body. That's what God did with this earth. What is it when you get saved? You come and you're cleansed by the water, the washing of the water of the word. Also, we go into the waters of baptism. But then that wasn't just enough for anybody that we put under the water. We don't baptize unto regeneration, that when you're baptized, you're just automatically regenerated. But we baptize as an evidence that we've made an outward expression of an inward work. But yet, there has to be something more than just water. It took the blood to come and cleanse you, the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Yet just being saved isn't yet enough to enter into true fellowship with him. But now the Spirit by baptism of fire comes in and cleans out the old man. What is it? Water, blood, and fire, or water, blood, and spirit, however you want to phrase it. What did God do with the earth back there in the antediluvian destruction? Back there in the early stages of time, he comes and he washes the world with water, just like he washed you with water. Then he comes thousands of years later and he dies on the cross and he washes it with what? His blood, just like you was washed with the blood. But that wasn't enough to burn all the sin and sickness and disease off. Now he has to come to this third stage of purification and baptize it with fire. Oh, talk about continuity. Talk about a God that if he would do one thing in you, and you were his attribute, and you were his thought, before the foundation of the world, he already had it in his mind. Not just that you'd be some good person that would do good works, but that he would cleanse you with water, blood, and fire. Just a three-stage purification. And he would create a world that would not just sit out there in sin and darkness and void, but yet after sin had come due to the fall, he would come and he would wash it with water, blood, and fire, just as he washed you. Why? Because it was one of his attributes from the beginning of time. He says again, future home, you're the same man in stature that you was when God called you. Same woman. But you see what it did. It was a regeneration. The old life passed away. The old desire has passed away. Again, future home. And that's what the world will be the same way. Redeemed. A new heavens and a new earth. Just like you are a new creature. And the Greek word there, anybody knows, said you're a new creation. Amen. A new creation in the same old temple. He says, hallelujah. Oh my, if you're at that spot this morning where you've been cleansed by the water, by the blood, and by the fire, and you can stand there and say, I'm a new creation in an old temple. Oh, talk about an excitement that it ought to be for us to recognize we've already gone through the process of purification. We've already got the down payment. Brother Branham said, not you was, not you will be. You already are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He said, it's the earnest. It's the down payment. Not will I be a part of the rapture? Will I take a rapture? Will I come forth in the resurrection? He said in one place, he said, you are the rapture. Why? Because you already have the down payment. You already have the earnest. Already been paid for. Just like the earth. Waiting. What is it? A new creation. And the same old temple. Revelations 21 verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You recognize you're even identified in that New Jerusalem? It was prepared just like you were prepared. He said, I go, that I have to prepare a place for you, but I'll come back. And then the Bible says the bride hath made herself ready. But yet it wasn't just us and ourselves, but he was helping us. It was the Spirit that was changing us. And just as we come as a bride adorned for our husband, this city that he prepared, as he's preparing us, he's preparing a city to receive us. And he brings down this holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You were identified in that. You were identified right in this earth. We'll look at it in a few weeks, maybe with the help of the Lord, how that we came right out of the dust of this earth. We was all laying right there in the dust in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world. Then he speaks and that dust, the spoken word, makes that dust manifested. But yet your body wasn't manifested yet. But all the calcium, all the potash, all of it that's in you right now was laying right there. You were identified back there in his thoughts, in that created world. And now identified in this New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Now, he's talking about physically in the New Jerusalem, but I want to say on the spiritual side, this has already been fulfilled, because when we received the Holy Ghost, he came and tabernacled on the inside of us. Not his physical body tabernacling like it will the New Jerusalem, but the Holy Spirit tabernacling deity in you. The tabernacle of God is within. What did Brother Bam say in Statue of a Perfect Man? He said, not a building with a big bell on top, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can walk in, God can talk in, God can live in. Now, I know a lot of denominational ideas that get dragged into the message would love to rob that from you and tell you you don't have nothing and you ain't going to be nothing and you don't have any rights. But I want to say, as message believers, the prophet of God told us, we've lived too long underneath our privileges, below our privileges. But God has come again in this age to tabernacle himself with men. Now, people get scared when you say that because they think that, well, they're trying to make the prophet God. No, I'm trying to make all of us a part of deity. I know that word deity scares people to death around the message because it's been used in the wrong way. It's come and they've tried to pervert deity and drag deity down to one human being, but it wasn't that. It wasn't that the man was God. It was that God dwelt in the man. Amen. Don't limit that to the prophet. It's if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God dwells in you too. A little portion of deity tabernacling in you. Not the fullness like it was with Jesus Christ. Don't get scared. I'm not trying to say that I'm God or you're God, but yet in portion we are. Brother Ben called us amateur gods, amateur creators, because a portion of him, a portion of that attribute is in you. He said, now, if you take one teaspoon of water out of the ocean, he said, you know, comparatively, it doesn't even make any dent in the ocean. You would never be able to scientifically come and say, now, Brother Nathan, all my science has come engaged, and we caught you red-handed. Go back and put that teaspoon back in the ocean. We know you took that out. There's no way scientifically, with all the evaporation and rains and things, that you could ever prove that it even made a difference to take that teaspoon out. But yet, Brother Branham said, in that same teaspoon is all of the minerals that's in the entire ocean. And when God divided himself on the day of Pentecost, it didn't weaken him. He didn't get any weaker. It was still the same God, though he divided himself on 120 and then on 3,000 and then on and on and on down through all the church ages. But it didn't weaken God. But what it did was place a little teaspoon out of the ocean in you, where the same attributes, the same minerals, the same form of God, that yet the godliness and all the stature of a perfect man that would be, he placed that in you and said, this is my son. This is my daughter. Amen. You know, he came and spoke there on the river, or not on the river, on the Sea of Galilee there, or the Jordan River rather, when John was baptizing. He comes again on Mount Transfiguration. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You go over to Colossians and it said it pleased God that all the fullness should dwell in him. But he can look at you tonight, or this morning rather, and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. Not all the fullness like in Colossians with Jesus, but this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm pleased to dwell. God living, tabernacling in human beings. That's why Brother Branham could come and say, he has no lips but our lips. He has no hands but our hands. No feet but our feet. What is it right now in this time, in this dispensation? God living in men and women, acting out through them, performing the works that he didn't finish when he was here, is what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He makes all things new. He took your old life out there in sin and turned it around and made it new. Maybe he's taking your family situation. Maybe it looked like things was rough. Maybe you had children that wasn't serving the Lord. Maybe you had marital problems, whatever it would be. And he comes, and yet God's a God of restoration, and we serve a message of restoration. And he comes and he begins to change that situation, and he turns it back and makes it new and better than it ever was. God makes all things new. Problem is, many times we limit him by sight and by time and say, well, I don't see it yet. I claim my healing, but I just don't feel any better. Well, you just keep confessing that and you won't get any better. But you come and you confess, it's a finished work. I'm already healed. It's a paid price at Calvary. What's he going to do? He comes and makes all things new. Brother Branham said, God will make your body obey your confession. If he can do that for your body and my body and all these other sickly bodies down through the ages, what's he going to do with this earth? He's going to make it new. Not annihilate it, not demolish it, but burn off all the sin, sickness, disease, sorrow, heartache, pain, everything, and we'll walk out a new heavens and a new earth. He said, we won't even worry about it. We won't remember those old things no more, but a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come this morning, let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would take the words that were spoken and the scriptures and the quotes as we looked at it, Father. And if there be some here that, Lord, maybe they've never looked at it in this way. Maybe they've never saw this, Lord, what you laid on my heart to share. May they pray about it, Father. May you give them revelation, Lord. May they sit down with the tape recorder or the CD player or the tablet, whatever it would be, Father, and go back and listen to what your prophet told us in 1964 there in Future Home. May they study it and pray about it earnestly, Father. I recognize there's so many traditions and things get dragged in from denominationalism into the message, and sometimes when we hear things like this, it shakes our conscience a little bit because we're not used to it, Father. But I thank God for revelation in this age. I thank God for a prophet that would come and restore us back to the original truth of your word. Lord, may we not take it lightly. May we not just brush it aside. But Lord, may we recognize that, Lord, before the foundation of the world, Lord, you didn't just have the world in your thinking. You didn't just have this planet in your thinking, but you had each and every one of us that has eternal life, predestinated, chosen, elected before the foundation of the world, that we were in your thinking. Lord, that we were a part of your attributes. Oh, we love you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Lord, we recognize that down here, Lord, there's so many troubles and trials and temptations and persecutions. Sometimes we get weary, Father, but Lord, we're seeking a city that is to come, whose builder and maker is God. We're seeking, Father, an economy. Lord, we're seeking, a nation, a world, a system not consumed or came up with, designed by man, but that you designed in your thinking before the foundation of the world, that we would live in peace with you forever. No more sickness, no more pain. Oh, but just to spend eternity with you, Father. Our human minds can't even fathom it sometimes to think what that would be like, Father. Oh, we love you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these dispensational truths that you've brought in this age and given to us. Thank you, Lord, for a word that was restored back where we could see. Lord, to where we're not walking in darkness anymore, but because you came and you spoke, you said, let there be light. Lord, that now not only with our physical eyes, but we can spiritually look and see as you've shown light on your word in this age, Father. We thank you for it. We love you and appreciate you. May we not take these things for granted, Father, but may it bring us peace and comfort, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I'm going home. Lord, I'm going soon. Oh, I'm going away. Looking forward to it. Oh, I'm going home. Lord, I'm going soon. Just a dimension faster. Lord, I'm going way.
sing it together. Sing it one more time together. Oh, even so, come, Lord Jesus. This morning, but it's 93 outside, I think, so it's cooler in here than it is out there. I thank God for a place where we can come and at least be a little cooler than what it is out there. I know some of the churches Brother Trevor goes and preaches to in Africa and things, they just a mud hut, you know, basically, with maybe a few windows openings or things like that if there's a breeze blowing or whatever. But we're blessed. Amen. Maybe you don't feel blessed this morning, but we're blessed. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim our eyes. Oh, all is peace forever. Looking forward to it. No more sorrow there, won't be no more burdens to bear, won't be no sickness, no more pain, won't be no party over there. Oh, and forever I will be, oh, with the one who died for me. Oh, hasn't even entered into the heart of man what'll be. Oh, what a day
we begin together this morning. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, what a day that will be. When I look upon His hand, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Nathan kept mentioning, we'll speed up and they'll slow down. Let's just sing the chorus to that song, There Is a Land.
There is a land I'm homesick for, although I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. Thank you.
bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. And let the world go by. Well, I'll stand for Jesus. And let the world go by. Well, I'll claim His promise. He will supply. And will I'll